I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about some kindness initiatives at the Indianapolis Public Schools. We'll discuss how they came about and what they aim to accomplish. My guests are some of the educators and students taking part in the Middle School Kindness Challenge. Please join the conversation. Call us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about an interesting initiative in the Indianapolis Public Schools. It's called the Middle School Kindness Challenge. If you want to join this conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can email nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Well, we have a packed studio today. I think this may be a record for No Limits. We've got five guests with us. I'm going to introduce them in no particular order. They are Sheree Thomas, who is a Harshman middle school teacher, ninth grade student Daisha Ingram, eighth grade student Josel Humphrey, and another eighth grader, Justice Wagoner, along with counselor social worker Sarah Gold. Welcome to all of you.
Hello.
Hi.
It's good to. So I'm going to ask the students here first, what classes are you missing to be here?
Math.
Math. Is that a tremendous disappointment to you, Justice? Or
no?
No. Okay. So we will start. I think I'll start with Sheree here, and just ask real quickly. Tell me about what the Middle School Kindness Challenge is.
Yeah. So the Middle School Kindness Challenge is a challenge meant to promote kindness at our middle school. And so our school thought it would be great for us to get involved, as we wanted to promote positivity amongst our middle school students. So it's something that allows students to better peer relationships and try to focus their emotions in a positive way.
Okay. And what prompt, is this a national thing, or is it something that originated here in Indy?
So the Middle School Kindness Challenge is a national challenge that they actually have every year, and so we thought it would be a great time for us to be a part of something larger than just our school.
Okay. So I'm going to ask, and I'll start with Daisha on this one. How did you get involved in this? What drew you toward it?
Well, what drew me towards it was, it was at our advisory took place in this, you know, we helped put it together, you know what I mean?
Okay, so by putting it together, did it mean that they sort of said, we're going to try to do this, and it's up to you guys to figure out how you want to do it?
Well, before that, we did a prep rally.
Okay.
And the teachers, they liked how we did it, so they wanted us to participate in something else, so that's how this was brought up.
Okay, what did you do in the pep rally that they liked?
We just, you know, we did rap battles, dance okay. battles, we just did a lot to, you know.
Okay, so it was a fun stuff. It wasn't related to the kindness, it was just that you showed you had some organizational skills.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, that sounds interesting. So, Josel, tell me about what drew you to this.
So, last year I was a part of student council.
Okay.
And the cultural specialist that was the leader of it basically, like, brought it up, and the group of us had to come up with ideas of what we wanted to do for it.
And what ideas did you come up with when you said you came up with ideas? What were some of the ideas that the group came up with?
We came up with, like, helping the homeless.
Okay.
And we thought about, like, singing to people and doing generous stuff for other people around the building and around, like, the community.
Okay. Justice, other than the opportunity to get out of math class, what drew you to this?
Well, I was in student council, and what she said, we was trying to come up with ideas, and it gave me a chance to prove that, like, I can do something on my own, basically, to prove that, like, I can, like, have leadership skills. And so that's what drew me to it, and then I ended up actually liking it.
And what is it about you that you liked?
That I liked that whenever we made people feel, like, safe at school, and they made them feel like they was loved and, like, they had friends, and I just liked seeing them like that.
Sarah, how important is an initiative like this?
I believe it's so important for our school. It was the first time we did such a school-wide challenge where we had our older students kind of taking the lead. So it wasn't just our seventh graders that were doing kindness acts. It was the whole school that participated. And I really felt like it changed our school culture with doing this initiative. So,
let's put this in context. How large a school is Harshman?
We're at William Penn, and we have
William Penn. Everyone else is Harshman.
I just switched out. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We have close to 700 students in the building.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm going to put Sheree back on here real quickly and ask her in terms of this, how large a school is Harshman?
Yeah. So Harshman is only grade 7 and 8, and we have roughly 600 students at our school.
600 students. Okay. And you know, help me a little bit why kindness is such a priority at this time. And I'll lead you a little bit. I'm assuming that there is, in an era where almost every parent and a lot of schools are worried about the problem of bullying and social isolation, all of that sort of stuff.
Yes.
Please speak to that, if you
yeah,
could.
So as a middle school teacher, we are very aware that middle school is a time where students are finding themselves. They're becoming more social, have more freedom versus coming from elementary school. And we know that can be a very tough time for students. And so I think having the kindness challenge allows students to kind of be empathetic and put themselves in other people's shoes and try to be more positive and make people feel comfortable and, like Justice says, safe in our school. And so I think it was very important for us to bring this alive at Harshman to try to get students to think of how being kind to others can be a big thing. And so I've seen it change our school culture, and it was a really good thing to be a part of.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about a new initiative in the Indianapolis Public Schools called the Middle School Kindness Challenge. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at wfyi. So, Justice, I'm going to come back to you here and just say, is something like this needed at – and I'm going to ask all three of you this, okay, this question. Is it needed? Are there kids who are bullied at your school? Is there – mean-spirited behavior that needs to be corrected if possible. Justice.
Actually, there is, and this was a way for them to, like, instead of being bullied all the time, it's good to know that someone cares about the small things in life. And they show you that, like, oh, I like your hair, but they don't want to say it. They'll write it down on a piece of paper. And then it makes you feel like people pay attention to what you take so much time on, and you just feel like you're loved instead of being bullied all the time.
Is that who are the kids that in the school would you say that are bullied the most?
Probably 7th and 8th, maybe 6th.
6th, 7th, and 8th? Okay. And is it beyond grade level? Are there any other characteristics that they have? I don't want you to name names here. I'm not asking for that. Are there any things that that I did. Well, I'll tell you what. While you're thinking about that, I will move on to Jocelle and ask her, is bullying a problem at the school?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
How big a problem?
Huge.
Huge?
Yeah. And
can you give me some examples of ways that kids are bullied?
Mostly by social media.
Oh, so it's not even taking place in the school itself. It's sort of outside of the school's control.
Yeah. And then it's brought into school.
How does it make it, its way into school?
Well, because people like to post stuff, and so, like, if they don't see it, somebody that does see it, they'll tell the person that can't see it, and then, like, stuff will come upon, like, rumors and stuff, mm-hmm. and lots of drama in school.
And is it everyone who is doing the bullying, or is it, just a small group of kids?
It's just, like, that small one group of kids that's always messing with somebody. But then when someone talks about them, they want to get upset or in their feelings.
Okay. So it sounds like there is a need for this kind of stuff. Daisha, I'm going to ask you the same question. Is bullying a big problem at the school?
Yes.
How big? Same question I asked Jocelle. How big?
I mean, it's not big, but it happens, you know. Not just bullying, it's more of drama, not just...
What's the difference between drama and bullying, would you say?
Bullying is when you're constantly messing with someone for no reason, in my eyes. And drama is just when, you know, you and another person are just going at it over maybe something big or maybe something small. That's what it is in my eyes.
What are the things that that encourage people, would you say, to... go at it, as you say. I mean, when you say there's something big or something small, what's something that is big that divides people, and then what's something that's small?
Social media.
Social media is something that's big.
Yes.
And it's used really to tear people down.
Mm-hmm.
What's something that's small?
I mean, it's nothing about drama is small. Everything about it is not a good thing. But if when people hide behind fake pages, people will make fake pages, you know, for no reason. If you start the drama, then just finish it instead of, you know, going on social media and involving more than who needs to be involved in it.
Okay. So I'm gonna pull Sarah back in here and say I'm presuming that this is not not an unusual situation, that dynamics like this are happening in schools all over the country.
Right. They are happening on a regular basis. So what we're trying to do is you know, do things like the Kindness Challenge, do peer mediation with our students so that they can help to work solve conflicts without it getting to a bigger issue. But the social media is huge. Kids post stuff, they see it at home, they do Snapchat, and a lot of our bullying comes from social media, honestly.
How maddening is that to deal with? Because, in many ways a school can't control something like
right.
that.
Our hands are tied a lot of times because we can't control, but we will, you know, when I go into the classrooms and talk to students about bullying, I will say, if you're doing this online and you're posting different things, you know, you can still be held accountable at school for that. So we'll have parents that will bring in information from another student that's posting negative stuff, and we try to shut it down.
How much more difficult as a counselor, as a social worker, has the explosion? You know, this is not something. I don't think it's coming as a shock to the students here, but I'm a little bit older than they are. Social media really wasn't a reality
right.
when I was going to school, and there was bullying back then as well. But I don't think it was at the levels, and certainly it was much harder to hide behind fake pages or fake sites.
Yeah, it is. It's so much harder. I started back in 2000 as a social worker at the same school, and we are definitely dealing with different issues. Our kids, if they were bullied at school, it happened at school, they could go home and they could leave it. They don't have to deal with it at home, but now they go home and it's still in their face and they're seeing it. So that can have huge, huge ramifications for some of our students.
And once it's out there, it's awfully hard to pull it back. It stays forever.
Almost impossible.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about some new kindness initiatives at the Indianapolis Public Schools. It's called the Middle School Kindness Challenge, but obviously we're going to be talking more about the kind of climate that makes initiatives like this necessary when we come back. My guests are many of the educators and students who are taking part in these challenges, and we're going to encourage them to share their stories and their thoughts as we continue this conversation. If you want to join it, you can call us at 866-476-3881. You can email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about some new kindness initiatives at the Indianapolis Public Schools. It's called the Middle School Kindness Challenge. My guests are some of the educators and students who are taking part in the initiative. They are Sheree Thomas from Harshman Middle School. She's a teacher, ninth grade student at Harshman, Deja Ingram, eighth grader Jocelyn Humphrey, and eighth grader Justice Wagoner. We're also joined by the Stray from William Penn, Sarah Gold, who is a counselor and social worker. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. You can track us down on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what a listener named Bridget has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Bridget, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
And I wanted to thank Deja, Giselle, and Justice for, you know, being on the air. That's not something that everybody's willing to do, and I'm glad that they have.
Well, I got to admit, I'm impressed too. I don't think I could have done this when I was an eighth or a ninth grader. So it's pretty cool that they're here. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah. So when I was in middle school, a lot of the time, you know, the social company wasn't necessarily the people weren't who I would have chosen. Whereas, like in college, everybody's there because they chose to be there specifically. And the work wasn't always meaningful, and I didn't have really any power to make changes in a lot of big ways. But it sounds like they've found a path to do some really meaningful things, to have an impact. And I'd love to hear about a time, like a specific moment, from each of the students when this kindness challenge has changed how they saw themselves or others.
Thanks very much for the call and the question. I'll see if we can get an answer. I'll start with Jocelyn there.
Thank you.
The kindness challenge made a difference to me. For example, me and him, like, did not like each other at the beginning.
Pointing, yeah, we're talking about Justice.
Yeah, Justice.
Okay.
And when we had to do student council, we didn't have a choice but to work together, so we had to get over our problems to work together. And then when this kindness challenge came about, we was working together even more, and I found out he really wasn't that bad, and he's actually fun to be around, and he has good ideas, and without this kindness challenge, we probably would not be talking still at this moment.
So, Justice, I got to ask the other bookend that on this. I mean, Jocelyn says that the two of you did not get along prior to this. Was that the case on your end, too?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, talk if you could, because this is one of those moments that can really change things. I'll start with Justice, and I'll give Jocelyn the last word in this case. But talk with me about the moment that you began to realize, whoa, you know, she's okay. I could like her. I could get along with her. I could work with her.
So, we was in student council, and I was just thinking, like, why is she in here? Like, I don't like her. And whenever we started working together on the kindness challenge, I noticed that she wasn't actually, like, annoying. Like, I thought that she was just this girl, like every other girl, typical. And then, and
keep in mind, you're outnumbered in here, Justice. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
And then we started working together, and I noticed that she wasn't annoying or nothing. And then we started, like, talking, and she was, like, funny, and she had great ideas, too, about stuff we should do in student council. And then we started becoming, like, friends in student council, and then it just kind of carried on from there.
How did, and I know I'm going to, don't worry, Giselle, I am going to come back to you and get your side of this as well. But, you know, some of this, it sounds like you guys didn't really know each other before this, but you'd already decided you didn't like each other. What was it about her that you thought you didn't like before you knew her?
I thought that she was kind of like a person who likes to correct people. And then we was doing, and then I was in the hallway and she corrected me and I was like, okay, I'm not talking to her ever again.
Okay. So based on that one experience with each other, you decided that. Giselle, what would, I'll take it toward the end of the story and then move it forward. What was the moment that you decided and what made you decide that, that this guy was okay after all?
We're working together.
Yeah, but was there something he did or said that that led you to believe, oh, okay, maybe I was wrong and maybe this guy's not so bad after all?
Yeah, like he was the only person that really talked to me sometimes, too.
Okay.
And then, like, he has really good ideas, and I like people that have a lot of ideas and like to communicate and talk and share how they feel and stuff.
Okay. So what was it, same question I asked him, what was it about your previous experience with him, since you didn't, it sounds like you didn't really know him either, that made you decide you didn't like him up until that moment?
Because, like, he used to always tell me I'm not the boss.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know, like, it's just like I've never hung out with him, so I just assumed, like, obviously, I guess I don't like him. Because, like, I don't know. It's like we have cliques at school, so it's not like he was in my clique. I had my clique, he had his.
Okay. Daisha, is that a big part of the problem in terms of it? Is the, you know, I mean, cliques have been around basically as long as people have been around. But it's something that we seem to hear a lot more about now. Is that a big part of the problem at your school and with people your age in general?
Can I just say, I don't go to Harshman anymore, but when I did last year, that was a big part. Like, a lot of people hung out with, like, let's, for instance, the people in our advisory group, we didn't hang out with each other. It was like a clique from what you're saying. Who I hanged out with, I hanged out with, and who they hanged out with, they hanged out with. Like, we didn't like each other, so. But we had to work together, so we had to learn to like each other, or this would have never happened.
Where did the, you know, when you decide, because at least, is this experience fairly typical with Giselle and, or Giselle and Justice were saying that they really didn't know each other, but they decided they didn't like each other. Is that fairly common? That a lot of it, just because you don't know people, you decide you don't like them?
Not in my situation.
Okay.
But others maybe, probably, yeah.
Well, and I'm not holding either anyone here at fault. I'm asking the questions just because I don't know the answers, and I'd like to get to understand it a little better. In your case, so I'm not saying this, but and where are you going to school right now?
At Tech,
okay. At Tech, are cliques a problem, and do we have these same sorts of bullying and, mean-spirited behavior problems, or is that something?
We have more of cliques we're in high school now, so, I mean, it's not really bullying to me anymore. It's just people arguing or it's not really bullying in my eyes.
Okay. Do they not use the social media, though, or anything like that to make people feel small?
No, they still use social media.
Okay. We are talking about some interesting new kindness initiatives at the Indianapolis Public Schools on No Limits today. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. So, Sarah, I'm going to ask real quickly. Obviously, we focus most of the conversation at your two schools, but they're not the only ones involved in this, right?
Right.
Okay. Could you talk with me a little bit about the scope of this initiative, who all is involved, and frankly, why your two schools were chosen to come here today?
I believe any middle school had the opportunity to sign up for this challenge. It was just you had to really get some students who were going to help take the lead, to focus on some initiatives, to do the challenge. So I think that some of the things that we did overall, I think one of the reasons we were in one of the top 10 is because we involved everybody within the building. It wasn't just students. It was staff members that were acknowledged. Throughout the building, we had students who would, they were called Tiger Roar, like slips that they would give to different staff members and teachers saying that they appreciate them for different things. So it was nothing. They were so excited just to walk to their door and there would be a note posted out there from a student or another staff member. So it wasn't just the students who actually received random acts of kindness. It was everybody in the building. And that truly changed staff members when they would come in the morning. They just seemed to be, you know, a little bit happier, maybe a more smile on their face. So it really helped change a lot of things in our building, I felt.
Was it an immediate transformation or did it take a little bit of time?
It took a little bit of time at first, but then once we had these things in place, it just became more routine to do it. It was just something that we did. So it wasn't just like, you have to do this. It was, I'm going to go to help somebody out, or if they, you know, I'm going to deliver something. Like, we had some students, like, and for random stuff, they would take flowers to a teacher or something, like cookies, just nice stuff for them. So it was just, it just became something we did and didn't really have to think about. So,
Jocelle, have you noticed, I'm going to ask you guys, at your school, since they've started doing the middle school kindness challenge, have you noticed a difference in the atmosphere, the kind of environment that Sarah Gold is talking about, or has it not penetrated down to the student level? I'll start with Jocelle.
Personally, I think the kindness challenge made everyone, like, come together more and open up more. And, like,
how so, if I could? I'm curious about it. How so? In what ways do you see that?
Probably when we did the kindness notes that we had, people, like I said, when we have the clicks, people don't usually like to open up to people. So maybe what Justice said about how people don't like to tell people what they like about them, how much appreciate them, and people don't feel like they're appreciated unless people do kind things to them. But I feel like everyone should be appreciated and have the same respect everyone else should have.
Justice, I think that was your cue. I mean, did you see, has it transformed the atmosphere and the environment at the school?
Yeah, it changed a lot because at first, at the beginning of the year, everyone was like in their cliques from last year, and some people were left out, and then we got this kindness challenge, and then it kind of brought people out of their shell and out of their cliques, and we did the Tiger Wars, you started noticing that people actually pay attention to you and not say anything, and it just made you feel like you were cared for, and that people noticed whenever you tried something. It's not like people ignoring you. It's just that they don't want to step out of their comfort zone.
And I'll stay with Justice on this. When you say that the kids who felt left out felt included, did you see any of the kids that had, and again, I don't want anybody naming names here, but any of the kids who had participated in the bullying suddenly say, oh, whoa, what I was doing was wrong, or maybe this wasn't the best course for me? Did you see anything like that, Justice?
Yeah, I did. It actually happened quite a lot, like on the buses, on the school. It just made it a more happier place, and it made it easier for people to learn. It was just a better environment for our school.
Jessel, same thing. Did you see people, you know, who had been bullies change their behavior or change the way they thought about things?
Yeah, a whole bunch, a whole lot.
In what ways?
Like in the classrooms, people that used to talk about each other, now they like talk, they don't talk as much or a lot, but they still like communicate with each other or say something nice about them. They don't say anything negative about them anymore.
Okay. Daisha, let me ask this. If you were going to make this this kindness challenge even more effective, what ways do you think schools could adopt that would make it easier for kids to get along and be kind to each other?
Well, some of the things we did, they could maybe do. We did a kindness cookout. Can I explain it?
Yeah, please. No.
Okay. The kindness cookout was basically a cookout where people came and ate. We did group, team by team. We had four different teams. And it was nine different stations, and we all had stations to do with kindness to self, kindness to others, kindness to environment, and my bad, comment and respect.
And respect?
Yeah. And
why did you settle on the idea of a cookout to do that?
Because people like to eat. I mean,
yeah, well,
a lot of
that.
People like to eat. So we just thought if people came, they knew they was getting some food. So, you know, of course they was going to want to participate.
And what did they do while they were there?
I can't really say what other people did, but at my group, we just had, you know, words, and then they had to pick their own definition for the word. And if I felt like it was a good definition, I would, you know, give them their reward.
Okay, and what were some of the words?
Respect, empathy, okay. Yes.
And if they offered up a definition, then they got they got fed in response then, right?
Yeah.
Rewarded them that way. Okay. Well, it works with most of us. If we get fed, we're happier. Sheree, in terms of how you saw as a teacher, a classroom teacher, this transform the environment, what effects did you see, and did any of it spill over to the learning itself?
Yeah, so at Harshman, I think our school does a really good job of trying to focus on some really core values that we want to teach our students, and one of our core values is empathy. And so with empathy, I think it aligned really great with the kindness challenge. And so one of our things that we did was a social media campaign. We talked a lot about how social media has been a primary source of where we see bullying. And so one thing that we did at our school was create a thing around how to be kind on social media, or how to use social media in a kind way. And so we had a hashtag, kill 'em with kindness, and we just kind of challenged students and adults to post positive things about people. And and when we seen that happening, I seen a big change, at least in my classroom. Students were more aware of checking themselves, of what they're posting, or being aware of what they're posting. And then when we seen the positive outlook on that, we actually gave them shout outs on our morning announcements. And so I seen that students were very excited to be acknowledged that they were being kind, not only in the classroom, but also how they use social media.
It's interesting that you decided that you should use, in effect, fight fire with fire here.
Yes.
Decide to go where the battle was. If you are just joining us, we are talking about some interesting new kindness initiatives in the Indianapolis Public Schools, specifically the Middle School Kindness Challenge. If you want to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 866-476-3881. That's a toll-free call. You also can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at wfyi. We're talking with some of the educators and students who are driving this Middle School Kindness Challenge on No Limits today. And we will be back after this short break. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about some interesting new initiatives in the Indianapolis Public Schools, specifically the Middle School Kindness Challenge. My guests are Harshman Middle School teacher Sheree Thomas, a ninth grade IPS student, Daisha Ingram, an eighth grade Harshman student, Jocelle Humphrey, another eighth grader, Justice Wagoner, and William Penn, social worker and counselor, Sarah Gold. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. So, Sheree, I'm going to ask, as an educator, what ultimately do you hope this will lead to? What will be the outcomes here?
Like I mentioned before, I feel like middle school, as we all experience, can be a really tough time. You're learning more about yourself and your interactions with others. It's more responsibility that you're taking on. And so I feel as an educator that students really need to learn how to work with one another in a positive way. You're going to be surrounded by people for your whole life, whether you're in school, whether you're at work. And so I have noticed as a teacher that just little acts of kindness, no matter what it is, whether it's a comment or a note or a gesture, I feel like it always makes someone feel really good about themselves. And then you can see that student perform or want to be a part of something. And so within my classroom, I noticed that when we did the kindness challenge, students were more able to communicate and wanting to interact with people outside of their circle. And if they were doing something that maybe not was kind, they were aware of what they were doing and they were more likely to check themselves. And so I even like little comments, like if someone said something, a student was like, well, you know what, we're trying to be kind. That wasn't kind. And so students will actually start apologizing for things that they might have said that they probably didn't necessarily mean. And so I have seen students really take charge in owning what they did and what they said.
Justice, we've talked a lot about how it's transformed the school, but you go through this and it sounds like all of you, you know, have had significant leadership roles in doing this. So they've been experiences, and any experience we learn things from. What do you think the most important thing, don't worry, everybody's going to get a crack at this one. What do you think the most important things are that you have learned from being part of this, you personally?
I think the most important thing is to watch what you say to people, because you don't know what's going on in their life that's not at school. Because if you say like a simple thing, it could like make them like really upset. Or if you say like a little good thing, it could like make their whole day better.
How do you think it's, you know, could you give me an example of the way you have changed approaching relationships or anything like that with your fellow students because of being part of this?
It helped me have more relationships with my friends because it taught me that you can't always be. Like, some friends will be playing around and stuff. They say harmful things to each other, but they're just joking around. But I learned that it's not cool, even if you are playing around. You just have to, like, learn how to calm yourself down, even if you get mad at your friends, and walk away. You can't be mean to them or anything.
Jocelle, same thing. Same question. What are the most important things you personally have learned from being part of this?
I learned that basically you should just follow the golden rule throughout your whole life. Treat people the way you want to be treated and give people respect if you want to receive it back. So don't expect to be mean to someone and then expect them to be nice to you back.
And was that the way you approached life before this, or was that something that really got driven home to you as part of this?
Both.
Both?
Yeah.
So you believed that beforehand. This kind of reinforced it and probably deepened your commitment?
Yeah.
And how did it do that?
Well, like, before people would always tell me, like, when I used to, like, miss people or make fun of them or something, she would tell me to follow the golden rule and don't be mean to them because you don't know what they're going through. Like Justice said, you don't know what's going on in their life or their background or anything.
Okay. And when you say she, who was she? Was it my teacher. Your teacher?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And Adesha, other than the fact that people will do things for food, what are the most important lessons you've learned as part of this, would you say, you personally?
Me personally, I agree with what both of them said, like what she said, follow the golden rule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to get treated good, treat somebody else good. And if you want to receive being kind, you got to do it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Something like that.
So I'm going to stay with you for a second, Deja. You know, a common refrain here is that a lot of this is that you don't know what people are going through often. Do you think that's the key to kind of unraveling this, that if we knew more about each other and what their situations were, we might be able to cut through a lot of this bullying and meanness?
If I'm being honest, no.
No,
why not? I think people would continue to do the same thing because a lot of people are heartless. They don't really care what is going on in the next person's life as long as they're making their friends laugh. And particularly, you know, making someone laugh. That's why they continue to do stuff. They don't care about what's going on in someone's personal life.
Okay. How about you, Jessel?
I agree with what she just said.
Okay. That it isn't, having a deeper understanding of each other isn't necessarily going to solve the problem.
Yeah. But in some cases it might. But I feel like if people stand up for themselves, too, that'll help make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Justice, your thoughts?
I feel like sometimes bullies, they, like, thrive for that stuff. They want to make you feel bad. So if you're already feeling bad, it could make them want to do it more. Or it could, like, make them, like, completely stop. Because some people, they just do it because it's happened to them. And then they understand that you're going through what they was. It's like they could stop and leave you alone. And if it don't, then you should, like, tell someone.
So, Sarah, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you to put on your social worker and all of that and talk to about how important it is, you know, the parts of character, all sorts of things that are taking shape at this age, in light of a lot of the research into what I still think has got to be one of the most inaccurate acronyms ever for. The acronym is ACE, but it's for Adverse Childhood Experiences.
Exactly.
And how they affect people. How important is that we find ways to intervene here and with this stuff?
I feel like it's so important. So many of our students come to school with troubles, trauma that they've experienced, that they're going through. And school is supposed to be a safe place for them to come to, you know, to learn, to feel okay. And I feel like if we have instances where there are students who are getting bullied or getting picked on, and it's happening regularly, it can really, really affect these kids even more negatively. So I think it's important for adults within the building to, you know, teach these lessons to our students. We do our social emotional lessons on a regular basis. We do community circles where we talk about, you know, bullying and how to be kind on a regular basis. The teachers are doing this stuff. So I feel that if the students can get this information, some of them may think twice about saying something negative or saying something mean. And I think it is more important. I think if some of our students truly did know what someone was going through, some of them would change their behavior, I feel. And maybe not all of them, but some of them, I think, would change how they respond.
And, you know, some of them, if they do change it, what are there solutions for the ones, though? Because you know, the response here was pretty much universal, that there are going to be a fair number of students who just don't care.
I know. I know. And it's an uphill battle. It honestly is. As much as you tell them, you know, be kind or do these things, it's still a continual battle to get them to be nice to each other. It is. It is. And truly, some of our kids who are bullying others are going through this, you know, some of the hard stuff, too.
Well, we've learned that's learned behavior. Exactly. It comes from somewhere. So.
Exactly. So just, you know, trying to unlearn that behavior can be very, very difficult. But I feel that if you provide an environment that is safe, that is inviting for the students to be part of, that will help some of it, is how I feel.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about an initiative in the Indianapolis Public Schools, the Middle School Kindness Challenge. More broadly, we are talking about the issue of not just how we can combat bullying, but also the ways we can just, you know, in the words of the Greeks, make more gentle the life of the world and treat each other a little more nicely. If you would like to join this important conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. You can track us down on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what a listener named Teresa has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Teresa, you're on the air.
Hi, John. Hi. And panel. First of all, kudos to what you're doing. It's a hard, hard, hard thing, but do it every day. I just wanted to share that I'm a former principal of an elementary school where I instituted what we call the community of respect. And it had the three R's that went with it: respect, responsibility, and results. And we encourage students, as you are doing, to be respectful. A little different twist on kindness, but goes together. And people would write down, we had little forms where they would write down they saw so-and-so doing something kind or nice or respectful to someone else. And we put them in a hat. And at the end of the month, we would draw a name, and whoever won for that month, I would treat them to a lunch at McDonald's. But the important thing was that even when students were sent to my office for disciplinary issues, the first question I asked them was that respectful? How was that respectful, whatever you were accused of doing? And so I just wanted to share that with you. It's just a different twist on what your teachers are doing, but I would encourage them to continue the uphill battle. Thanks, John.
Thank you very much for calling and sharing your experiences, Teresa. So I'm gonna come back to Sarah real quickly on this, and then I'm actually going to ask Sheree to lean into the mic, too, so that... So that you're sharing a little bit here and talk about really, you know, it seems to me that at the most basic level, part of what you're trying to do is rather than coming down on bad behaviors, you're looking for ways to positively reinforce good behaviors. Yeah. Here, is that the key? Okay, Sheree, you made eye contact first, yeah. So you get to go first.
Yeah, so... what you just said actually really stuck out to me. At Harshman, we try our best to take a restorative approach. And so when we do have instances where students are having difficulties, instead of doing it the traditional way, we try to sit down and have those open conversations with the students. And so if there are students who are having an issue, they're able to actually sit down and actually get to the root of the cause. And I feel like that has made our school environment very, very good in the way of going more towards a positive approach. And sometimes as adults, we want to be the ones to find the solutions. But I think one thing that made Harshman stick out, which made us the national champions of the kind of challenge, is that it was student led. And so when students are being the drivers of the conversations and they are taking initiative to plan and organize important conversations around these issues, I think that it sits better with students, and they see it from a student lens. And so I do feel that taking this approach has definitely led our school in a positive direction.
Daisha, I'm going to throw that back to you. Is it more effective, do you think, and does it motivate you and your fellow students more to be told, you know, when you are doing something right than to be corrected when you're doing something wrong? Or the perception is that you're doing something wrong.
I don't get
that. Oh, okay. The what I'm trying to say is when somebody tells you you've done something right, is that more likely to motivate you to continue doing something right? Or when someone says, oh, no, you're doing something wrong here. You've done, you've been bad or whatever. You know, does that inspire you to correct your behavior?
Yeah, both.
Both? Mm-hmm. Which one motivates you more?
When you're getting told that you are doing something wrong. Because when you're getting told that you're doing something wrong, you can fix the problem and it won't happen again. Then you'll be told that you're doing more of you're doing something right than you're doing wrong.
Okay. Justice, how about you?
I think that it helps me better whenever you say that you're doing something right. Because like, you're like, oh, I'm doing this right, so I'm going to do it more often. And then it's kind of in between, too, because you need to have someone to tell you when you're wrong and when you're right. Because you learn from your mistakes and how you're supposed to know, like, if it's a mistake, if people don't tell you.
Yeah. Giselle, same question to you.
I agree with both of them.
Okay.
I feel like if I'm told wrong, I'll not let it happen again, or I'll fix my mistakes and I can learn better from them. And when I'm told right, I feel like I can get lifted up and encouraged to do better.
So let me ask this real quickly, because at least, I don't think it's any secret to anyone. I'm a teacher too. And at least one of my thing is when I'm correcting an assignment or something for one of my students, I always try to write something that they did well first, that the correction, and that it's always struck me that it seems important that they know that we're on the same side here, that we're all working toward the same goal. Is that important to you at all, Giselle?
Yes.
It is?
Yeah.
Why?
Because, was what important to me again?
The idea that we're on the same side. We're getting close on time here, so I'm going to ask Justice real quickly. Is it important to you?
It is, because you can't just keep on telling people everything, what's wrong with them. You have to tell them that they're doing things right, too. It makes them feel better, and you can get the same impact.
Okay, Sheree, you're going to get the last word here. How much longer does the Middle School Kindness Challenge run?
So actually, it kind of challenges a continuing thing. So
it'll be here forever?
It'd be here. And so our school actually have decided to actually, we're going to do the challenge again this year. And so last year was our first time entering. And so we do plan this spring to implement it again for our new incoming, for our seventh graders who were there who didn't get a chance to experience last year.
That will have to be the last word. I'd like to thank everybody for what has been a fascinating conversation, particularly our students. I know it takes a lot of courage to come onto the air and talk before a live audience. I'm really glad you did. And I'd like to thank our audience, as always, for some great questions. I'm John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producers, Sarah Neal Estes, Roxana Caldwell, and Jill Sheridan. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. Emily Matheny screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.